I think we're going to make it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller, and Jim Campbell joins us.
Hello.
Luke Moore joins us.
All right.
And Pete joins us as well.
Tadaima.
You know what's nearly happening, boys?
What's that?
Football.
I know. Back into the madhouse, isn't it? We're almost there.
Straight in. Just add some of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, no Friday night madness this week, sadly.
No.
Have to wait an extra few hours, but...
Saturday sabotage.
Yeah, that's right. If you like.
It's the first word with S that I could think of, which may have been conducive for such an event.
Could have been worse.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. Or better.
Yeah, I suppose, Jim.
That's a metaphor for the show, generally. that's the mantra we've lived by for many a year.
It's perhaps the encouragement I needed.
Yeah. Most of our iTunes reviews, to be fair.
Yeah.
Could have been worse, could have been better.
Don't encourage people in the iTunes reviews. You know what it's like? Now the floodgates are going to open.
I don't mind. Come at us, bro.
Yeah. Well, Liverpool's
win... 5 stars, please.
Liverpool's win against Hoffenheim could have been better if it weren't for that late goal. But it was still a good win in the Champions League qualifiers away in Hoffenheim, Peter.
It was a banana skin against an unfashionable, unfancy team of Germany. Klopp's home, town, city, country, yes.
Don't hassle the Hoffenheim.
Let that ring out.
You're right, Marcus.
Yeah.
Carry on, Luke.
Well, the thing is, Pete was going off on one. I thought, well, let's let Marcus bring this back to normality. And you made it worse.
Yeah, Luke put a full stop on it, but that full stop was a tiny dollop of poo.
Do you want to start our own podcast?
No, Jim. I do not.
Categorically not.
He's already done that with another one of us, Jim. You were late again. It was a good win for Liverpool, though. No doubt about it. They will be firm favourites for that home leg in Liverpool to go through to the Champions League proper. And Brendan Rodgers is already relishing getting them in the group.
Now, this is fantastic. But before I get on to Brendan Rodgers, I want to say, Pete just said Jurgen Klopp's home, town, city, country. Got there in the end. But Brendan Rodgers, it will be like a breath of fresh air for the Champions League.
Absolutely.
Minty fresh.
And I think him coming out after... Listen, he's cock-a-hoop after that 5-0 win. Fair enough, you know, against the might of Astana. He's cock-a-hoop. He's thought... I fancy a bit of Liverpool. Show them what they're missing.
Although, all of the team are cock-a-hoops, you could say.
Yeah, true, absolutely.
But it was a lovely goal from Trent Alexander-Arnold to get Liverpool underway.
The Liverpool game was...
And hopefully they can reach the Champions League with Celtic.
I enjoyed the Liverpool game very much. I didn't see the Celtic game. I saw the goals, didn't see the game. But the Liverpool game was fantastic. It was almost... very much true to form for Liverpool. Look good going forward. The fourth place team in England against the fourth place team last season in Germany.
To form, they only conceded one.
True.
Yeah, but
first
half they could have put away a few. I mean, they conceded a penalty as well, which they didn't really need to.
I know it was on target. So, wasn't it? You can only say a penalty is really poor if it's wide of the post. Mm. But that was a poor penalty.
I've taken some of my time, Marcus.
I don't agree with that.
But it's one of those ones where it's kind of harder for the goalkeeper not to save it because it's so near him.
Mm.
Really poor.
My opinion on that is that if you have any nerves like that, which I'm sure people do, I mean, footballers are human beings, just drill it. If you smash it as hard as you can, even if your keeper's safe, it doesn't look as bad. It doesn't look anywhere near as bad. So you've got
to smash it. But smashing it hard invariably leads to the player whacking it over the bar. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
They should have better technique than that, Pete, shouldn't they? You know what I mean?
But at least he'd have had a go.
That
was England in a major tournament penalty stuff.
Day and Lovren had a very charitable first 15 minutes.
Yeah, he's having a lovely time.
Yeah, the penalty he gave away particularly was a highlight. But going forward, Liverpool looked good. They conceded a lot of chances, which is what I meant by the by the typical Liverpool type thing. Yeah, they made a lot of chances as well. And
Hoffenheim just weren't as clinical as Watford.
No, they weren't. But the thing is, we talked about Liverpool briefly on the last show we did earlier in the week. We didn't actually say anything about Watford, who looked greatly improved almost instantly under Marco Silva.
Marco Silva will do that.
They deserve a bit of credit for that as well, Watford. Mm. But I mean, Liverpool will be obviously delighted to go away back to Liverpool with an away win. And they've done it without Coutinho as well, who looks like he might be pushing on and going to Barcelona.
It could be, yeah. It was great for Alexander Arnold. A lot of players with double barrel names, which are quite difficult to get your chops around, but we will persevere. Hopefully he'll just call himself Trent from now on, make it easier if you are listening, Trenty. But Klopp has shown faith in him before.
Yeah.
And
Could he become the starting choice right back ahead of Nathaniel Clyne as the season goes
well,
on?
I would argue that Clyne isn't at the very peak of his form, and he hasn't been for a little while now, and he's also had injury problems. I mean, so Alexander on a comedy and having it making a good. I mean, to be fair to him, what will happen when a young player like that scores a goal of great quality? Him stepping up and taking a free kick at his age is obviously great, and it's surprising as well, but great. But there was once or twice where he did look like he lacked a bit of experience. There was a particular point towards the end of the game, half of the line player was running through, I forget who it was now, might have been Sandro Wagner, but it might not have been. And rather than actually get his body goal side and actually concentrate on the sort of basics of defending, he was looking over to the linesman, putting his arm up in the end. It's like, you don't need to be doing that. Just maintain your concentration. So it wasn't a perfect performance by him, but he did play very well, moreover, you know, for the majority of the game.
Jim, you were going to say something. Was it the fact that Alexander-Arnold had to be egged on to take the free kick?
No, it wasn't so much that. It was more that Klopp's clearly got a lot of faith in him, that he's starting him in such a big game anyway, because, you know, Milner's filled in there in the past and started on the bench, obviously got the goal, which he celebrated like he meant it when he clearly didn't, which I sort of respect that. But yeah, I'm James Milner. I've got nothing left to prove.
You
could be happy if your team scored.
Absolutely.
You can celebrate wildly.
But I just love the nature of the celebration.
I do, yeah.
Hasn't Milner filled in majority at left-back, though?
He has been left-back quite a lot, but... With Milner, any position. That's the thing, right? It doesn't matter who you sign. You think to yourself, what's the competition for Mike? You could be in goal, and you think, okay, well, I've got... Mignolet would think, well, I've got Karius on the... And Milner as well, he might be able to... You've always got to be careful.
Feels like Jokke might make a move for him.
Whatever your position, Milner could slot in there and do a very, very decent job. Klopp said that after the match, if somebody had told me you'd win tonight, I would have taken 8-7.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself... okay, 2-1.
That sounds like just go for 2-1.
Yeah.
Or report someone for match fixing.
That's what you should be doing. 8-7
would have been better. All those away goals.
He got Nagelsmann's. I believe it's pronounced Nagelsmann. I don't know, but he got the Hoffenheim coaches back up after the game by sending a few bits and pieces. And it was interesting because obviously the Hoffenheim coach is quite inexperienced. He's only very young. And
are we saying Nagelsmann or Nagelsmann?
Whichever you want. You guys can choose.
I mean, he was being a bit of a nag, wasn't he?
And it's interesting because that's their first foray into this sort of level of football. Yeah. He's an inexperienced coach.
30.
And I think he thought Klopp was a bit arrogant. Yeah. So he started listing all these reasons to why Klopp was wrong after the game. And you could just imagine Klopp, because there's a second leg to be played, of course. Mm. You just imagine Klopp just chuckling away to himself like he does.
Yeah.
So I found that quite an interesting dynamic.
Well, he'd be angry with Brendan Rodgers.
Well, yeah,
because
exactly.
The way Rodgers are talking, that Liverpool haven't bothered with the second leg. It's
already
in.
Didn't a journalist ask Klopp, do you remember your first time, meaning the first time in the Champions League? But he said, I hope my first time for Liverpool in the Champions League is better than my first time. Basically, he was talking about his first time.
It was like,
I'm still not bored of him.
Did he say he hoped it would be a better performance or something like that?
Yeah, I hope I put in a better performance than I did back then.
He's great.
Talking about sex.
I loved it at the weekend, which we missed. David Wagner and Jurgen Klopp are big mates, aren't they? And they've got basically the same glasses. I love that. I wonder if some sort of deliberate mirroring going on there.
Do you reckon they got 2-for-1?
Maybe, yeah. They've just got the same prescription.
Yeah. I'd like to think so. I got
fitted for new glasses a few days ago, and it's always emotionally draining to get new glasses as a glasses wearer. It changes the whole shape of your face. It's horrible. It's horrible.
And you don't know what ones
through.
To choose. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
I thought your head looked fatter.
And the guy was telling me to look at his eyebrows when he was trying to like readjust them. Uh-huh. But the problem is, he had a massive monobrow. What a terrible job. Look at my eyebrow. And I was going, which one, mate? Like, you've only got just one big long one.
Well, that the one then?
Yeah, that one. I couldn't be looking at anywhere.
I think they say they were drawn on. What do you get up to on a Friday? But yeah, a great win for Liverpool, though. The only thing, of course, that is still a little bit up in the air with him is Coutinho. But he could join his fellow countryman, Paulinho, at Barcelona.
Yeah,
a lot's
been made of that. I mean, I would just add quickly that Coutinho probably would have taken that free kick if he had been fit, and I know he's got a back injury allegedly, but he probably would have taken that free kick that Alexander-Arnold took. I found that quite interesting. But yeah, Paulinho's obviously gone to Barcelona, and lot's been made of it. But if you read around it sounds like Paulinho's actually had a really good time of it in China.
He has,
and he's still
in the Brazilian squad, isn't he?
He actually scored a hat trick for Brazil against Uruguay in March. So I mean, that's no.
The article I read said that because he's playing under the manager, I think he played under Corinthians. Since he's been brought back into the Brazil squad, they've been brilliant since he's
yeah.
And if you look at the profile of Paulinho as a player, I mean, clearly a better player than he was towards the end of his Spurs career, you would argue. And the type of profile of a midfielder that Barcelona don't necessarily really have at the moment. So it does make a bit of sense.
Wasn't the second season of his career at Spurs a Tim Sherwood season as well?
Tim Sherwood was involved. Yeah.
So, you know.
I didn't have China down as a place that would be a stepping stone to Barcelona. Right.
Well, that's why. So the
Silk Road.
The two points. One, it's been alleged by other news outlets that the Barcelona sort of president, there's a reason why he's gone to China to buy this player. Mm-hmm. I can't put too fine a point in it because I literally can't.
Climate crisis.
But the other side of that is, well, if he's been bought on merit and he goes to Barcelona, because Barcelona look miles behind Real Madrid at the moment. Mm. If he goes to Barcelona and he does really well and he improves them greatly, then, I mean, seriously, that's good for Chinese football, right? Because it means a big club in Europe has said, we don't mind you playing in China. Yeah. And bearing in mind that Paulinho's won the Asian Champions League there and won a couple of league titles and stuff, people at the biggest club in the world are saying, well, that's fine. We'll legitimately find players from there.
He's easily like the top one or two players in the league. In China, he's been incredible out there, apparently. And it's doubled the amount anyone's paid for a Chinese best player ever. Right. So that's pretty big, isn't it?
Well, in the same way.
I mean, for a 29-year-old, you're buying a Brazilian... It's a lot of money, but you're buying a Brazilian international. And that doesn't come along every time, is it?
And that always goes well. it's a bit like in the MLS a few years ago. People sign players from MLS now into Europe. Didn't stop Sunderland getting Jermaine Defoe, did he? See?
No, true.
Exactly.
There we are.
Mm. The big transfer talk out of today, and we've got to be careful about this because obviously it can be out of date very quickly and we don't know how much truth in it, is the talk of Julian Draxler, who's been told he's surplus to requirements of PSG, attracting the interest of Liverpool, which would annoy you, Jim, particularly because they were linked with him for about 48 seasons.
Arsenal are being linked with him at the moment as well, so it remains to be seen where that would go. Although, I wonder if that would hasten the departure of Alexis Sanchez from an Arsenal point of view, if they thought, oh, actually, if we can replace him now, maybe we'll cash in, but I don't know.
There's bottlenecks everywhere, Sanchez, isn't there? It's like log jams everywhere.
We'll talk a bit more about that in later.
It says to me that Coutinho's, if that's true, it says to me Coutinho's probably going to move on. Yeah. And they're linking him with Arsenal, and that could easily just be like a tired copyright.
Absolutely,
Well, he's definitely been linked with Arsenal before. I'll get an extra 100 words out of
this. I press paste, and it was just already there.
But I think, that would suggest that Coutinho is going. I think if Liverpool can get, like, they're looking at 90 to 100 million for Coutinho, surely they should take that. Coutinho is a great player, but I think he is perhaps a little overrated.
I think
he's excellent on his day, but he does have patchy performances here and there.
And by the way, I'm not denigrating Coutinho at all. I think he's a good player, and I think he's better player than some people give him credit for, but I don't disagree necessarily with what you're saying, but I think Drak is a great player. I don't know what you feel like, Marcus. He's not had it all his own way at PSG. He's now been told that he's surplus to requirements, but he was one of the hottest prospects in Europe not very long ago.
I heard
he's only 23 as well.
I heard Arsenal bidded way under his value.
We'll take him off your hands for $5 million.
Well, Liverpool at home against Crystal Palace this weekend, and we'll surely win.
Well, Crystal Palace are 15-2 with Bet365 to cause an upset at Anfield, so £10 that will return you £85, including stake.
Mm. Ooh. Benteke loves a goal against Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, that's a point. Yeah,
you would have to be a madman based on what you saw last week. But mind you, it's the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you know what? It's a new season. Liverpool hot off the Champions League.
And Palace like to mess with Liverpool, don't they, for some reason?
Last season, this is exactly the sort of game Liverpool would struggle in.
Well, there was a wonderful... it wasn't a wonderful game for Palace. I don't know how long ago this was in the 80s, and it was one of our former lecturers who said he was in the Palace end, and I think Liverpool won 8-0 on the day or something. This may have been in the 80s or something. It was a huge score. And the Palace fans are all sat in the away end going, God, blimey, what a load of nonsense this is. Having a little chat. And Palace got a penalty in front of them. And they were like, oh, blimey, how are we going to miss this? And one bloke put both his hands above his head and just went, I reckon about here.
Yeah,
and then everybody started putting their hands up as if they were going to catch the ball. Going, I reckon he missed the penalty, didn't he?
Nice.
I love the fact that group of supporters are all putting both hands up in the air, ready to catch the ball. Yeah. I think that our man's going to blast it over here.
Do you remember?
Could have a bit of that on the weekend.
I was just going to say, do you remember when Palace kind of spoiled Liverpool's title bid before it became known as Christanbul?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The thrill, yeah.
I do indeed remember that. Shall we go to somewhere which is notoriously a place that's hard to go? Stoke City.
Mm.
Will it be hard to go this season? They've got Arsenal.
It wasn't last season, was it?
No, this is it. Arsenal haven't won the first two games in a Premier League season since 09-10, so that'd be nice to manage to do that.
Jim.
Yeah, quite. And we've only beaten Stoke once in seven games at their place, so it's a bit of a test early on.
It's going to happen this season, though, because Stoke are toilet.
Stoke have...
you know, getting in Fletcher from West Brom was a good signing. They need a bit of a spine. They need something solid. And getting in former Real Madrid starlet and PSG winger Jesse Rodriguez is the perfect tonic
for any success well, that may come their way.
Jesse was, you know, he's been unfortunate with injuries, hasn't he? But he said, like, he was compared to Ronaldo when he was first breaking through, and he said that he basically says if he hadn't been injured, he'd be a first team starter.
It's a funny old game, isn't it, Jim?
For those listening at home, don't mistake Marcus's laughter. He used to be really good.
Yeah.
He used to be a really good player. But it's absolutely credible to me that Mark Hughes thinks that's a good thing to do. Like, to me, it's like he's just signing players he can do volley keep ups on the training ground.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Shaqiri, Bojan, Hesse.
You should see him in training.
Hesse, put
when
on
there's
the ball
no one on
him.
Exactly. And to be fair to him, Hesse is a flexible forward. And clearly, at his best, he's with respect to Stoke, above Stoke's level. But is he the sort of player you want to be buying at this point?
Too flexible? His limbs keep snapping off?
Buy 15 Darren Fletchers. That's what you want to be doing. If you want to stay in this division, buy a load of Darren Fletchers.
Stifle, guys. Stifle.
Yeah.
I
think it's a lovely... Exactly. Stifle the trifle.
And Why aren't I second commentator on the telly?
Well, you should
stifle the trifle, guys.
You shouldn't be looking so smug because Newcastle have just taken...
Hossley.
Similar sort of player.
One of the most... unprolific goal scorers in quotes I've ever seen.
I think you will find there was an open training session this afternoon at St. James's Park. They opened a whole stand. There was a good amount of people there,
5,000.
And they saw him lashing a volley from about 10 yards out. So,
very fine, then.
So I'm saying, guys.
He's already on the score sheet.
Local media reporting he's opened his account.
I did see that open training session, and I thought, do those fans think this could be the only time we see a Newcastle United side?
Well, you know the Hesse thing and then the Joslu thing, which happened around the same sort of time. So Hesse's gone into Stoke. And Hossolu has gone out to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. I know Hesse is a good player, and I know he's had unlucky with injuries, and he went for a lot of money to PSG and it never worked. And he went back to his hometown club on loan, which didn't really work out for him either. Mm-hmm. But they stayed in the Liga, Las Palmas, so fair enough. Hossolu, I was trying to think, I can't ever remember him scoring a goal. And then I remember him scoring that goal last season, I think it was against Watford, where...
He scored one today in training.
Yeah, true. Sorry, Marcus. Until today.
Until today, when he opened his account for Newcastle United.
And there was a goal at Stoke beat Watford.
At the casino.
It was over last season or the season before. I can't remember because my memory's terrible. But Gomez came out about 50 yards and Joslu put one over his head. That's the only goal I can remember him scoring. So, listen, Benitez obviously thinks he can get the best out of him.
Yeah. He's got three in pre-season for Stoke. That's also all I'm saying as
if
well.
If I may finish, guys. He'll very much fit in at Newcastle.
We've had very similar strike. We've had so many strikers like that.
Newcastle. Yeah. I was about to say that exactly the same thing.
Kind of that 5 million mark where it's like, oh, it's a bit of a risk. Damn right.
Is it a new Albert Luque?
Exactly. Classic Albert Luque.
They have had some proper pony strikers.
He'll score in a testimonial. He'll score in someone's testimonial.
Jim, it's a bit of a risk, but is there any other kind of Newcastle striker?
Apart from that Alan Shearer one, that was pretty much
all right.
But to be more balanced about the Hesse thing to Stoke.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's got talent. There's no doubt about that.
He's won two Champions Leagues and he scored in the Clasico. Mm. So, I mean, he's not.
He'll fit in
merit.
Then, won't he?
Yeah. He's 3-1 to score any time with Bet365 this weekend. So, £10 returns, £40, sorry, including stake. Against Arsenal, of course, which would is weird, isn't it? Because there's so many narratives in the Premier League. Mm. I mean, him scoring in a Stoke win against Arsenal would also be quite fitting.
Do you know what the narrative?
It wouldn't
be that odd, would it?
No.
But what the real narrative is, of course, is that the injury that he picked up for Real Madrid was courtesy of a heavy tackle from Saeed Kolasinac.
Yes,
the Arsenal defender.
Kolasinac sounds like a word in another language for like a clattering, doesn't
yeah.
it? Or a gun.
Kolasinac.
Yeah.
What about? I mean, is
he's
it,
got
is,
an AK Kolasinac.
Is it possible from the little I've seen of Kolasinac to tackle someone and not injure them? Because, I mean, it's a cruciate injury, which is clearly very serious and in the past can end players' careers. But, you know, to play devil's advocate, in Hesse's defence, if he wants to restart his career and he's just come away from a huge club these days in PSG and now he's coming to play in the Premier League, you never know. It might suit his game.
I actually think it's an all right signing for Stoke because he's clearly got talent and Arnautovic going out, there's room for a forward like him to come in there. If Hughes can get him playing, you've got Bojan playing and, you know, who.
For a bit.
Well, you wouldn't have thought a player like that would fit in too well in surroundings like he has in that squad.
Yeah.
But Hughes got Stoke to a record best finish in the Premier League. It wasn't last season.
I mean, for a team like Stoke, they're always going to have to take a gamble on players like that, aren't they? If they want players of that quality, they're always going to have, otherwise like, they just wouldn't be able to get them. But they've actually been quite bolshy in pre-season because a lot of people have been sort of predicting their downfall. But they released a video today. It was something, I think it had a quote from Marko Arnautovic saying that West Ham were a bigger club than Stoke and show more ambition. And then they had the whole sort of anomaly of how many Champions League winners they have in their team, which has been doing the rounds again, because they've got the most Champions League winners in a squad, but between them they've played 1 minute in a Champions League final with Ibrahim Afellay.
And inspired by a listener, Ben Fraser, who got in touch with me, Stoke fans, just remember QPR in 2012 under Hughes, that's all I'm saying.
They're getting the band back together again.
Yeah. That was his new band.
I suppose it is.
He's always looking
band,
for a new
it?
Project.
Yeah. Trying to start a supergroup.
Absolutely right. Just quickly on Arsenal, obviously they're playing Stoke. What about this, Jim? Africa's richest man, billionaire Aliko Dangote, has said he'd like to buy Arsenal, and the first thing he'd do would be to sack Big Veng.
Why not, mate? Just join the queue of strange men that want to buy Arsenal.
Let's have that
which
debate.
I'm also in.
Let's have that debate again. Sign a new contract. Can we all move on? We at least get a bit of peace and quiet.
Just give us 2 months before we start again.
I know, right?
Before we reset.
A good day. Wenger's now signed a new contract. That's done. Sigurdsson's finally moved. Yeah.
Nobody's banners are in the shed. They're still in the front room behind the sofa. Yeah,
exactly.
They can come out quick.
We don't need to be having this conversation until November for a bit and then again in March for the rest of the season. Let's leave it for now.
What's next? 2 more weeks of Carlos Tevez before the transfer window shuts?
I don't miss him.
Yeah. I don't miss him.
Now it's time for correspondence with old Petey.
It is time for correspondence with young Petey. Hello to Taylor Wilson, who says on Tuesday, Salisbury boss Steve Claridge named himself on the bench for the league visit of Poulton Rovers at the tender age of 51.
Lovely. Wow.
That's not bad, is it?
Claridge.
I saw big Stevie Claridge play about 3 years ago and he scored a great goal.
Does he still have it?
Well, he didn't move, but he did genuinely score a really good goal.
Well, he to move.
Well, that was semi-pro level.
With 10 minutes to go, the score was 2-2, and Claridge, despite having two young strikers on the bench too, opted to bring himself on in search of a winner. Yeah. Into the 5 minutes of added time, the ball fell to Claridge inside the box from a corner. He swung his left foot, missed the ball, fell over, and the match finished all square.
He's 51.
I wish that story ended better and he scored. I did, however, see him down the Leon Solent Arcade a few weeks back in a Salisbury tracksuit on the motorbike simulator. True story.
That's great.
That's literally about 100 metres from where I used to live.
Need for Speed.
Yeah.
Need for Speed. Thank you, Wilson, for that one.
Did he not used to sometimes wear different boots? Not different boots,
he used to have a plastic bag full of boots.
Yeah.
And he used to take one left and one right out of the boot of his car.
I love that.
And he used to sell fruit and veg at the back of his car as well. Mm.
Did he also live in his car?
I don't know.
Wasn't this Wild Portsmouth like a championship club?
Stop denigrating us.
Did he have like a Satsuma in each boot of his boot?
Yeah, did. And he had like a Dick Whittington stick with the sack on the end of it and a cat.
You started it.
And he had a pair in.
Sometimes
in the boots.
When you saw him play up front, he used to have his little cat with him. and then he went to a house on the way home from a game once. There was three bears in it. And some of the porridge was just right. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? I've lost the bloody name on this one, but thank you so much to the person who did this. I'm back with another weird mascot.
Sorry, mate,
this time.
You lost someone's name off a piece of paper. How is that even possible?
I think the letters fell off. So apologies who this was. I'm back with another weird mascot. Presumably this is a guy who came up with a weird mascot before. This time from Spain. He's named Roelio. He's the mascot of Pontevedra CF, and he looks terrifying. He kind of looks a bit like Mr. Blobby. He's supposed to be a Bourne. They used to consider themselves a Bourne or bogey team because they beat Real Madrid back in the 60s. Look at the state of him.
Oh my God, that's really frightening.
Hang on, say it again so people can have a Google.
Well, it was Pontevedra's mascot.
So they're a bogey team for Real Madrid because they beat them once 60 years ago.
Yeah. Their mascot is still based on that.
The mascot's a Bourne, but it's only like half a Bourne, and people just, he's been described as a big white bollock.
Am I being sick? Why does a Bourne relate to a bogey team?
I think it's a Spanish
Bourne.
In Germany, they say England or a bogey team.
Yeah.
So thank you, anonymous emailer. Apologies for losing your name.
The great thing is, do email at show@thefootballround.com. We're still your staff.
When was the last time I lost someone's name? I'm always very good.
When you were in the dock.
You shouldn't really do it at all, should you?
About 30 seconds ago.
Tom.
Yes.
Just guessing, yeah?
Is that the name? Is that the name?
No, oh, it's okay. In him. From Tom says, I just want you to know the pod's thoughts. I just wanted to take the pod's thoughts on John Terry reportedly still doing his recovery, ice baths, etc. at Chelsea's training ground. Is this the most Brent thing in football history?
Is this seriously?
It's weird, isn't it?
This came up.
Not going to phone ahead.
I forgot who it was, but someone on TalkSport was saying that it was a co-presenter of one of the shows. He was guesting on there. And I forget who it was. And he said that John Terry still goes back twice a week for his recovery from Birmingham to Cobham.
Wow, that's a juicy bit data.
It would explain a lot.
But surely they've got those, like, kind of, those ice machines.
And I know they do, because Luke and I have seen them.
I've been to Villa Park and seen them, so he's definitely
got
them.
So he'd rather travel an hour and a half down, or 2 hours down the motorway.
I think Gabby Agbon Lahore's in one all week.
It's where he gives his chalk ices.
Dr. Tony's got a little champagne in there.
Yeah, and Agbon Lahore's in the other one, so he has to go back to Chelsea.
Finally for now, Jeremy Lavender. Hello, Jeremy. Hello there from Kentucky, he says. Hello. My wife is an accidental troll when it comes to my football fandom. I'm a Southampton supporter. That's not the joke. And my wife knows that I am. A couple of years ago, my wife, Christmas, decided she was going to get me a football shirt. Let me reiterate that she knows I support Southampton. I open the package and out flops a maroon/burgundy shirt with the "You'll Never Walk Alone" poem emblazoned with golden letters. In case you're unaware, we are aware, but that is the official/unofficial slogan of Liverpool, the team that poaches the best players Southampton have to offer. I graciously accepted it. I'm obviously a Southampton supporter with the Liverpool shirt. I'm ashamed. Part two to my wife's accidental trolling involves a newly promoted team. My wife and I are expecting our second child this January, and we've yet to find out the gender. We've been trying to think of names we like for both boys and girls so we can have a jump on proceedings. This past weekend, my wife tells me she's found a name she really likes. She's gone for Brighton. Which, I don't think I've ever heard. Brighton, is that a first name?
I can see that working as a first name.
Sarah Palin, the American politician and terrible human being, has got a... Hasn't she got a daughter called Bristol?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Similar.
Well, basically, she didn't seem to think it was as funny as I did when I started laughing. So we'll probably have a kid called Brighton come January. Our... South Coast.
Is he using us to get stuff off his chest? Like, using us like we're sort of Jerry Springer.
To be honest, actually, I welcome that. Yeah. I'd like to see more of that from our listeners.
Pete, what's his name?
Jeremy Lavender.
Jeremy, thanks for that. Explaining the Southampton Liverpool thing. We appreciate it.
His name's Cambridge Oxford.
He's a football podcast. I mean,
you
get it, yeah.
It's great. Sorry, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, he's helping, isn't he?
What is he?
Stop
helping?
Having a pop.
He's helping.
He's got enough on his plate, thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Peter,
yeah,
best regards to Brighton.
No, let's get involved. If you want to get involved, we're going to say hello, short@thefootballramble.com.
There it is.
Get him in.
Oh, after the break, we're going to be talking about Spurs and Manchester City.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Can't argue with it, can you?
Can't argue with that logic.
No. It's basic stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Talking of basic stuff, Luke, you've got a wonderful message for the listeners.
Yeah, On the Continent, our new European-focused show with James Horncastle and Andy Brassel starts on Wednesday. And to hear a trailer and to subscribe now, you can do so by searching On the Continent on iTunes or wherever you get your pods. And if you want more information than that, go to thefootballramble.com/news.
I heard the trailer and I got that feeling in my stomach.
I do.
I'm going to put two things out there.
Excited.
Theme tune, two things. Half allo allo, half Oktoberfest. If you haven't heard it by now, get on it.
Yeah. And it's an original theme, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
original pirate material.
Material.
Spurs have got their first league match at Wembley Stadium on the weekend. Mm. What can go wrong? Lots of things. Although their opponents are Chelsea, and they're in disarray.
They are in disarray. If they lose, it'll be absolute bedlam.
Yeah.
Conte will probably quit in a fury.
It'll be two seasons ago all over again, Jake.
Exactly. Will we see the Conte tracksuit again?
I should say so.
I mean, he's at the home of football. He should be stepping up now.
He wore the tracksuit in the Community Shield, Jim.
Yeah, but
he's at Wembley.
It's not a competitive fixture.
It bloody is.
Do you think they're going to treat every game like an FA Cup final, where like the manager's leading the players out onto the pitch?
I really do hope so.
Those fire-breathing things at the side of the pitches
and
stuff.
The plinth.
And the wobbly
floaty things.
Yeah, them. Get them all in. Brass band. Do they do a brass band before the
Imagine that every Spurs home game. By November, you just be like, God.
It's a landfill indie band opening
up. Yeah. You lost till November.
Yeah, maybe.
I put Catherine Jenkins out to sing the Spurs theme.
Yeah. All the national anthems, all the nationalities in the squad.
I mean, what I would say is that when I played at Wembley, presumably when you did as well, Luke, they made you do like a line out and they played the national anthem.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. Well, when I played at Wembley.
Because
it's the same, isn't it?
It's the same, isn't it? Pretty much. I mean,
are you turning up for Spurs this season?
I mean, I'll probably perform as well as Spurs do at home this season.
It's an early dig from the Newcastle United.
Yeah.
From Stiggery.
By the way, he's got a brass neck on him.
Lost 2-0 last week.
Yeah. Disgrace yourselves, collectively and individually.
Well, we are going when Newcastle play at Wembley. We've got to go, because Newcastle never win at Wembley, do they? And this is their chance.
Alan Shearer on the bench. Rude Hullet in the dugout, lovely.
In his post-season comments, Mike Ashley would be going, oh, we played at Wembley.
Yeah, right. That puts another 20 million on the asking boys of the club.
That doesn't count as a bloody cup run, mate.
Do you want to watch this team with these? Newcastle played at Wembley, under my ownership. Yeah, we got beat 5, but we played at Wembley.
We had a good run.
Yeah. We had to play 17 games to get there. It was the 18th game of the season.
We had to win a whole qualifying competition the season before eligible.
Can you imagine Mike Ashley turn up at like Club FA or whatever you call it, that kind of like big drinking food kind
Club
of court effect?
Club Wembley. And you've got the Bobby Moore area as well.
Rolling down them escalators.
Yeah. Power drinking.
Yeah. The Mike Ashley fireplace, as it's now known.
For those who've not been to Wembley as well, Wembley away from the pitch feels a bit like an airport. And you know what drinkers are like at airports.
Yeah.
You'll be careful with Ashley when he goes down there, I'm telling you.
He'll be in giraffe.
Isn't Ashley a Spurs fan anyway?
Yeah.
I think he's a Spurs fan. Yeah, so yeah.
He certainly will.
He'll be having a lovely day out, wouldn't he?
In my head, if he's not at a hotel bar, Peter Reid is at that bar at Wembley. Mm.
Can I just put, for no other reason than just that I'd enjoy it, can I just put out there that Mike Ashley once wore a Newcastle United shirt in the stands with King Kev 1 on the back.
That's right. Yeah.
So didn't he leave about 3 months after that?
Mate, most of my passwords involve the word don't worry about it.
Good to know.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cheers, Pete.
If any cyber hackers are getting involved.
Literally hundreds of thousands of people listening to this.
Literally.
That's how wealthy Pete is. It doesn't matter if he loses a lot, because he'll still have a lot left.
Living Brewster's millions.
I had a bit of a bad week. What happened? Oh, money taken out of my account. Was it a phishing scam? No, I gave my password out to 100,000 people. The most ridiculous case of like bluffing ever. Oh, no one will do it. If you're listening, do it.
Yeah, please do.
Buy him a piano. Mm. Pete, all of you buy him a piano.
This whole thing now is going to turn into like a really bad episode of 24, where you're going to have to try and change all your passwords before I can release this show to the world.
Oh, fantastic.
The race is on. But going back to the Spurs game.
If we could.
Moussa Dembele says something quite interesting over the summer, which is, I'm not going to say what it is, Dembele said, but we've been working on something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And he was nodding to the fact that Wembley's a bigger pitch than White Hart Lane, and mm-hmm. they had a bit of trouble there last season. So that'll be interesting to see how they approach it against Chelsea, who, by the way, I mean, are there for the taking. If this game was at White Hart Lane, you'd fancy Spurs. But I know no Spurs fan listening is going to agree with me, because they're going to go, well, when Chelsea are a wounded tiger, we always muck it up against them. But if this game was at White Hart Lane, you'd be back in Spurs big time here.
But it's
so
not.
The Wembley factor will be fascinating to watch.
I like that this new tactic, if they were just hitting balls up to like Eric Dier or something like that.
I'd love it. I'd actually love it.
Getting flick-ons for Sissoko.
Yeah.
Could Spurs not just have the pitch resized to the dimensions they prefer? Like, have it smaller?
No, that you can't.
Because England,
you have to get special dispensation to get below 105 by 68. And there's no reason to do that at Wembley.
You don't want to disrupt England's kind of expansive.
No,
true.
Free-flowing game as well for the qualifiers.
I
agree with you, Mark. I'd love it if it was just basically Hugo Lloris banging goal kicks into the channels. Yeah.
Shooting.
Yeah. Dier and Sissoko up front. Kane unused on the bench.
Saving him for the...
They'd probably still beat Chelsea 3-0.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big shout.
So who's going to play in midfield for Chelsea? It's talk of David Luiz having to play in there.
That'd be lovely. That's something we all want to see, by the way.
Every game. Definitely.
I reckon he could do it.
So he can just bomb forward.
If only they had sort of an experience.
He's big enough.
He's big enough.
Xavi didn't struggle, did he?
He can dominate in the air, can't he?
Are you thinking because the pitch is big? They need big players.
If only Chelsea had like a sort of decent, experienced, strong set midfielder they could rely on for these opening games of the season.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Yeah, well, they've been linked with Danny Drinkwater.
Mm. I like that.
They are desperate to win the title, aren't they? Kante, who do you want next to you, ideally? Well, I did have a... now that Matic is gone, I've won the league with Danny Drinkwater. We'll get him in.
Imagine if they did it after a training session. They signed Drinkwater and Kante's like, no, I said I want a drink of water.
Fine.
But I think, I want to go to Chelsea. Is what he may say. courtesy of Mr. Elvis Costello.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I think Danny Drinkwater is a hugely underrated top of player in this country. He played, Marcus, you'll correct me here if I'm wrong, he played for England at Wembley against Netherlands in the warm-up game for the Euros and was brilliant.
He was good, yeah.
Yeah, and he didn't get a look in. If he was playing for a big club, he'd be a shoo-in in that England squad. And I think there's nothing wrong with having a player. I know he didn't have a great season last season, but lots of players can be guilty of that from time to time. A player who looks after the ball like he does, playing alongside Kante, and they've had success in the past, and he would be, relatively speaking, wouldn't break the bank, which is important to Abramovich now, as we know. I think it'd be a good signing. I think people will be quick to criticise the idea of them going after him, but I think if they think about it, they'd agree it'd be
but
a good signing.
He played with Kante before.
Yeah, and he's won a Premier League.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to see him sort of get that chance to be considered a sort of top-tier player. Good luck to him if that goes through.
Spurs are threatening to sign some players in the window and could wrap up the signing of Ajax's 21-year-old defender, Davinson Sanchez.
He looks a player.
He does look a player, doesn't he? We saw him. Some people would have seen him in the Europa League final, of course, against Manchester United. He had a great season for Ajax. Most of those players did. They were brilliant.
Well, he's refused to train, hasn't he? Because
he
definitely wants to.
He's got the right attitude. I like.
Well, this seems to be a lot more than ever before. Is there going to be like another Bosman ruling where if you want to go, just go. Don't worry about it.
That's essentially it. There's a number of articles.
I think to play devil's advocate here. Do players do this in this situation? I don't know Davinson Sanchez's character, of course, but in this situation, is it just because they don't want to get injured? It's easy to paint it out as, oh, he's just sulking.
I don't think that is it. If you read some of the articles, there's very nefarious things going on with some certain big clubs in Europe, and they basically, some are suggesting, encourage players, down tools, force the move.
Okay.
And look, this has been going on for years. You know, this is not a recent thing. And look, I'm not in football, so I don't know what it's like if he wants to move in the club, you know, because the clubs aren't perfect themselves, are they? And sometimes you might have to kind of strong arm them and all that kind of stuff. But on the outside looking in, with our slight naivety, I suppose, I think it is a shame when you see a player do that. And won't someone think of the fans?
But actually, then you don't know what promises have been given to him. You know, you give us another season and you're off. But they turn around and go, nah, you're still under contract.
That seems to be the case with Dembele going to Barcelona.
Dembele's a big one, yeah.
He's been fined all the time, isn't he? Right? The more players do it as well, the more used to it you get, and the more you just accept it as part of the game now as well.
We'll just say you're injured. Everyone wins.
That does happen a lot, though, doesn't it? I think Sky did a big rundown of all these players that were injured for the first match of the season, and they all had in common. Big move on the way.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know this, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Coutinho didn't have a back injury.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's loads of cases like that as well. But like, doesn't it also suit the club, though, to make it look like the players trying to force a move so that they don't look like they're a weak club?
Well,
it does affect,
and look, we'll come on to Davinson Sanchez in a sec, but just quickly on that point, it does make a difference the way the player behaves and way the existing club treats the player, because we know, I've got on good authority that Conte did send that text to Costa, which got his back up so badly. But the knock-on effect from that is Chelsea are now not able to get the fee they want for Costa, because Atletico Madrid are, in my view, rightly saying, well, if you're going to treat him that badly, you obviously don't rate him that high. You don't want him that much. Let us have it for this amount. But on the Davinson Sanchez thing, with the greatest respect to Spurs, and they are a Champions League club now, and they're going places, and you can see the project that's happening there, especially with their new stadium on the way and stuff. You know, Davinson Sanchez was being linked with a lot of top clubs. Very, very top clubs. I mean, you're talking about Barcelona, Real Madrid. So if Spurs get that over the line, based on what we've seen, a massive signing.
But you should also say that the reports suggest Ajax and other European clubs have been taking their time over deals with English clubs because the pound has been falling against the euro.
I don't think the ECB are ready for Daniel Levy brinkmanship price. He won't have filled up the helicopter. He'd be waiting for the best price for diesel to get aviation fuel.
Can we move the window to when Brexit is finally done, I think, is what they're asking, and then there's a windfall of all that kind of stuff. But Spurs, there's a few other people that they've been interested in as well. Obviously Ross Barkley, but there's an injury. It doesn't look like that's happening at the moment. But one thing I did want to talk about, and this is very important, is Mauricio Pochettino wrote a letter to a Spurs fan who's getting married, congratulating him on the wedding, and even offered a little bit of advice, saying, in life, just like in football, a little teamwork can get you some results.
My friend...
I like that. What's that about?
That's nice of him to do that. My friend...
presumably the couple have thought about that.
He's a diehard Spurs fan.
Yeah.
And his best man... He's been a season ticket holder there for years. Mm. And his best man, at the time when he got married, got the Spurs manager to write him a letter. Mm-hmm. And the best man read it out as part of his speech. One day, Ramos. Sorry.
Are they still together?
They are, but it was Juan de Ramos, who, to be fair, delivered them a League Cup, but then delivered their worst start of the season the following season and then caused the whole Redknapp thing. I just thought it's funny because the way he tells that story, I got the Spurs manager to do that. He never mentions the manager.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? loads of people who don't really care that much about London-based football won't even remember Juan de Ramos.
Yeah,
they might, went on to manage Real Madrid.
He did.
But that's not in London, Jim.
It's not.
Last I checked. Where were we about Spurs? Ah, yes. Harry Kane's been nominated for the FIFA Men's World Player of the Year. The only reason why I say that is nice to have an Englishman in there.
It is.
And it shows that Kane's turning the heads of some of the big wigs in world football. But back to Chelsea, though, that they've told Diego Costa to return to the club and get fit, get match fit. And Costa's response is, my destination is already set. I must return to Atletico Madrid.
He's not having any of it. Yeah. I must return my home planet. I have to go now. No.
I mean, he's like, it's sort of, you know, just watching Narcos, he's like Pablo Escobar. He's built his own jail in Brazil, and he's sitting there, and they're like, did you come out? No.
He's even said, isn't he, that he'll stay in Brazil if he has to.
Yeah. The most recent development is he's going to go to Atletico Madrid, and they're going to try and do a deal for him to go to Deportivo on loan for the first half of the season. It's the latest.
Well, reports in Spain suggest that Leti could pay Costa's 150 grand a week fines to help push the transfer through. The money in fines will be paid, I think, in the transfer deal. So it's not like every week they're wiring money. But
hang on, though. Like,
that's what reports in Spain have suggested. That.
Basically, what that means is Diego Costa can do whatever he wants.
That's what I mean. This man is so powerful by the sounds of it.
But anyway, listen, the draw at Wembley on Sunday afternoon is currently 12-5 with Bet365 between Spurs and Chelsea, of course. So £10 on that will return £34, including stake. Should there be a stalemate?
There we are. Martin Kerr was asking why no one from Chelsea's gone to Brazil to visit Costa.
Was he volunteering? Fancy holiday?
Probably because it's quite a scary thing to do.
Yeah, and it's in the middle of the season.
And he's not going to receive it very well, is he, by the sounds of it?
I wouldn't have thought so. But Manchester City are playing Everton at home. Another big signing in the Premier League has been Gylfi Sigurdsson for a club record fee of £45 million.
Thank God for that.
Huge!
Finally, it's happened. We can move on with our lives.
Mm. Yeah. It's a strange one, though, isn't it?
Do you think?
Given the players they've signed as well. We were discussing this earlier about Klaassen and Rooney, even perhaps existing in that.
If you crystallise the situation of Sigurdsson, who's a great player, by the way, and those who doubt that, those who think of him as just this dead ball specialist, should genuinely look. I'm not a big, huge proponent of like stats and all that sort of stuff, but look at Sigurdsson's stats. He's a really important player for Swansea, has been. You crystallise the Spurs situation where essentially he was moved on because he wasn't Christian Eriksen.
Yeah.
It's the only real reason. I mean, he's a great player, covered more kilometres than any other player last season in the whole league.
That's amazing to think of, isn't it?
But, as you say, Jim, though, he's walking into a situation where he's going to be presumably competing with David Klaassen, who's one of the most highly rated creative midfielders in that position already. So,
it's just an odd transfer policy, isn't it? It's not a judgment on any of those players.
I suppose they've got to play in the Europa League next season probably.
But it is strange to break your club transfer fee, though, for a player who you're thinking, well, where will he fit in fully? I mean, they played 3-4-2-1 on the opening day of the season, and you would imagine that he would be vying for one of those two positions behind the striker, which were Rooney and Klaassen. But then tonight against Hajduk Split,
They
played a 0-9-1, and it's perfect for him. They played Rooney up top, and I think they played the 4-2-3-1 kind of thing. And Klaassen was in that number 10 position, which Sigurdsson needs to be in. Sigurdsson really wants and sort of warrants the team being built around him. And I don't see that happening at Everton. I think it's a decent signing because he's a great player, as we know, in the Premier League. But you don't want the same thing to happen to him, which was what happened at Spurs. You know, he didn't quite play the position he wanted to play. Other people vying for that same position. I wouldn't put him in as a sort of a part of a dynamic front three or something like that. I think he is that player who likes to play behind the striker. But Rooney and Klaassen, because Koeman said himself, Rooney's still one of the best players in that position, even though he's playing right up top against Hajduk Split. And Rooney may not play every game, but still there's competition.
Well, Rooney can't play every game, I don't think. And if you, the two factors would be the Europa League, which is a bit of a slog if Everton want to do well in it. And you know it's a long season. They might have a few players vying for just two positions, but I don't think that's necessarily bad. And the other thing is that Klaassen's quite a bit younger than Sigurdsson, isn't he? So they may not consider Klaassen to because what they do know is Sigurdsson. Say it takes Klaassen 6 months to settle. It's possible. I mean, Sigurdsson's already settled. I mean, he's moving however many miles it is up the road, really.
A signing that they're not going to have for a year or two. They'd hope him to be there for...
But that's what I'm saying, but it might take him a while to settle in. He's moving to a new country, right? So Sigurdsson's already a Premier League proven player. So it could work in symbiotically, they may work quite well.
Well, hopefully for
that's obviously what they're thinking, isn't it?
Yes. Gareth Barry's been signed by West Brom, which is a decent signing for West Brom, and Koeman was reluctant to let him go, but Koeman did understand that Barry wanted regular first team football because Barry's been a good player for them.
I think Barry's about six appearances off being the all time record holder, isn't
Ryan Giggs,
appearance
wise.
He's had a great career, Gareth.
Yeah, of course he has.
Gareth Barry was playing. My memory might let me down here. This is off the dome piece. Mm-hmm. Gareth Barry, I think, was sent off for Aston Villa against Portsmouth in their first game in the Premier League, which would have been 2004. Wow. So, I mean, he's been around a while.
Yeah. Well, he has been around.
I mean, he's been around a while then, wouldn't he?
I was going to say, he's been, you know, I think, did he not come on for England against Germany under Keegan?
When
Germany won 1-0 at the last game of Wembley?
He does feel like he bridges a generation, doesn't he?
He's such an unglamorous player, though, that it's easy that if no one made anything about that that appearance thing that's coming up, and he'll undoubtedly break it this season because he's, you know, he's fairly solid and he'll play for West Brom. No one would know. No one would say anything. Giggs clearly is one of the most celebrated players of the Premier League era, you know, and rightly so. But Gareth Barry isn't that. But, you know, maybe he should be for the fact that it's not easy to maintain a career at that level for that long.
36 years old. And Ronald Koeman did say that he understood Barry's position, but did say maybe one day I'll have a headache wondering why he let Gareth Barry go. 36 year old Gareth Barry. There with midfield players like, you know, Idrissa Gueye, who's got a great engine on him, he's a decent player tactically and all the rest of it. And you think. Still, managers see when they see a really top professional like that, no matter how old they get, they still think, oh, there's still value in him.
He's like the Milner, isn't he? He's kind of like, he knows he's not as versatile, obviously, but he just knows he can give you a seven every match.
Yeah, that's right.
And a yellow card.
He's the same profile of like individual as Milner, isn't he?
Yeah.
But Marcus, there's a nice link actually into the fact, obviously, Everton are playing Man City on Monday night.
They are.
It's similar, sort of reminiscent of this Johnny Evans thing that's come up with Man City.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely, it is. You know, another West Brom player still, unless Manchester City stump up some huge money, although Pulis understandably wouldn't want Johnny Evans to go. That's a steal. Ferguson couldn't believe that Van Gaal sold him.
But then
just tap into the mind of Van Gaal and all bets are off, frankly.
Yeah.
We got an email about Van Gaal, a young man by the name of... Shall I get the name up? I've got his name. Camille was walking past the Wimbledon grounds, weirdly enough, and we spotted an old Dutch man walking our way. We are huge United fans, they shouted, and we got the selfies ready for Louis Van Gaal, and the phone sort of crashed.
Oh, right.
And he went, "You are not ready!" And then walked. And walked off. they got one in the end. They ran after him and got one.
It's like the Grosch
advert. You're not ready.
You're not ready for the shelfie.
I like the idea of Van Gaal being exactly as I imagined. Yeah. It's always nice when that happens, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, what I will say, there's a dedicated section for that sort of part of the show. So.
I ignore the fact that you said that Sigurdsson wasn't moving to a new country. A man with Welsh heritage myself. I'm willing to bring it up. If we're going to be correct.
Fair point.
Well made. I like the fact that Van Gaal would be like, "Can you take the photo and then like WhatsApp it to me or something?"
Yeah. No.
I'm not going to fall for that one again.
Yeah, you wanted the photo, mate. Yeah.
You're not ready.
But Man City trying to sign Johnny Evans, it was one that we didn't see coming, but their options at centre-half, Jim, are not that pretty.
Well, yeah, I mean, Mangala's come back, hasn't he? And there's talk that
he doesn't like Van Gaal.
No, of course he doesn't, but I think if Evans comes in, he'll probably be shipped out. And Jason Denier, obviously, we saw from Sunderland last season, just isn't up to the level that City need.
He wanted to sell Otamendi.
Yeah, quite. I mean, it seems pretty much unconvinced by anyone but company at the moment, and obviously you can't rely on company because of his injury record. So it's strange that they've done so much business, particularly with signing like almost a whole new defence, and there's still some dead wood that needs clearing. I mean, Mangala was, what, 42 million quid?
A lot of money.
Like, few clubs can take a risk of that size.
Doesn't fancy any centre half apart from a future John Stones.
Yeah, he likes the idea of John Stones as a concept.
Barcelona, he would sign.
We all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he would sign defensive midfielders and move them back, wouldn't he?
Well, quite Mascherano. Often
with Mascherano, Alex Song as well.
Big Yaya Touré in a Champions League final.
Yeah, the story behind the Johnny Evans thing is a fascinating one, and I won't bore everyone to death by reading it piece by piece. But it's worth checking out online if you get a chance. There's a good article on Goal.com about it. But you're right about the Otamendi thing, Marcus. Mm. What was being implied from the story I read was that Guardiola was happy to use Kolarov as his fourth centre-back, and he wanted to offload Otamendi, then sign a really big, experienced centre-back to replace him, and also to essentially mentor John Stones.
Yeah.
Mm. That all fell through because Kolarov decided he wanted to leave. And then the Danny Alves thing fell through as well, which had ramifications too. So now they've gone after Evans, who again, in the mould of Gareth Barry, yeah. Johnny Evans, you could say, look, mm-hmm. why the hell are Man City going after Johnny Evans? Which then sort of inspires you to go and look at Johnny Evans' career.
Yep.
And you think, okay, huge experience internationally, got good Champions League experience as well, came up at the one of the biggest clubs in the world, mm-hmm. Is to my mind, a better player than Phil Jones and Chris Smalling, and he's only 29. So, I mean, it's actually, for the money that they're going to be able to get him for, if they do get him, I actually think that's a really good signing.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember the other players who were coming through at the time of Johnny Evans, but has he perhaps suffered from having players around him like, I don't think it would have been Jemba and Cleberson. I think it would have quite a bit after that. But I remember Evans coming through with a crop of other players that perhaps didn't go on to...
I think he probably suffered the fact that he wasn't a spectacular player. Nobody could say, oh, yeah, I remember Johnny Evans in that game.
Yeah.
You remember in that game. But he didn't put too many feet wrong. And actually, as Luke says, I think he's a very, very good defender.
Well, you've also got
and
a
he's only 29. In your head, you think, oh, he must be 33 or something.
Yeah. No, he's 29 and you also have to understand that what's typified City at the back, arguably over the last few years, is they sign these defenders mm-hmm. from overseas who come in and for whatever reason they can't convince. With Johnny Evans, has got God knows however many Premier League appearances under his belt already. He's not going to need to assimilate because he's from Northern Ireland, but he's played a long time in Manchester, and he counts as a homegrown player as well.
But they need bodies. Company missed 22 matches last season.
Yeah.
And that's problematic for a really big fixture of that club.
It's going to be a big game on Monday night. Everton are a colossal 8-1 to put Man City on their backsides.
Mm-hmm.
At the Etihad, £10 with Bet365 will return £90, including stake. That'll be a great game to watch.
It will be. Yeah. Yeah. I think Goddard needs some more fullbacks. I think he should play two wingbacks on each side.
I think he probably needs to get six, as Redknapp would say, five or six more fullbacks in. I think.
I should say so. What is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, we're going back to Wembley. With apologies to Spurs fans everywhere. This is from Morgan Ryan, who's new in the hot seat.
Yeah, he is.
He says, and to be fair to Morgan, he does provide a photo to prove this. He says, hi guys, after predicting to my mate that my beloved Chelsea would lose to Burnley, I'm predicting for them to lose again versus Spurs, but with both teams to score at 3-1 with Bet365. So that's Spurs to win and both teams to score at Wembley on Sunday afternoon, 3-1 with Bet365. £50 with that 3-1 returns, £200 including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Lovely old job. Let's look ahead to the weekend, Morsey.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what Midlands Muppet Steve Bruce and Harry Redknapp are going to do this weekend. just give everyone... I'm not naive enough to think that people follow what Bruce and Redknapp are up to, so I'll just fill you guys in.
Please.
Bruce has already stated that he wants another striker, despite spending £40 million on strikers already in the Championship.
Yeah.
And I imagine Redders will talk again about how they need more bodies.
Get it right, well, old Steve.
They're playing Friday night Birmingham against Burton. I think it's at Burton. So if they lose that, that'd be fantastic.
People are saying that John Terry might be the next Villa manager. They might just get rid of Bruce and put him straight in.
Well, like he was really the manager when Aaron Grant was a Chelsea.
Well, listen, I'll tell you right now, based on what I'm saying, he's not a fucking defender.
Don't be nasty to John Terry. I don't want to go to Chelsea. But he has to for an ice bath.
Yeah. He really wants to, if anything.
Right, well, what are the listeners saying about the weekend? Mark Elms, friend of the Ramble, Mark Elms, regular contributor.
Good old Elmsy.
Says, as a Brighton... That's what all his mates call him, Marcus. What are you laughing at? As a Brighton fan, I'm looking forward to another eventful game versus Leicester. In this fixture in previous years, the following has happened. Once the game was played in thick fog and no one noticed that we actually scored. On another occasion, we had to borrow a Leicester kit because of a kit blend due to us having a blue home and away and third strip that season. Sort of defeats the object. And don't forget also, Mark hasn't mentioned this, but Anthony Knockhart will be going back to Leicester as well this weekend, so that'll be interesting. Tommy Cordry says, I'm looking forward to hearing that we all know Tottenham didn't do very well at Wembley last year a billion times. We've probably done about a billion on this show already. Anthony Gerrard, my highlight looking forward to the weekend, the debuts of Gary Cahill Peters, Cesc Fabregas Peters and John Joe Shelby Peters. That's gonna run and run that.
Yeah.
Andy Gibson on Twitter, a United win, Conte having a meltdown at Wembley and Klopp crying at the airport as Coutinho boards a plane. Clovis on Twitter, looking forward to likely our most embarrassing scoreline of the season v Spurs on Sunday, so a Chelsea fan not that confident. And I'll finish with this from at Football Love.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Very good.
He likes football, but he likes romance as well. He says, my highlight has to be Chelsea having to play an unknown 18-year-old in midfield when Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Nathan Ochalubba, Lewis Baker and Nemanja Matic all start for their new teams.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to Wolverhampton Wanderers at home against Neil Warnock's Cardiff City. And you know what Warnock's like? He likes to beat the drum for British managers and so on. And yeah. I do understand that in certain contexts and whatnot. But Nuno Espirito Santo, the head coach of Wolverhampton Wanderers, you could imagine that if old Warnock wins that one. Well, the thing is, Nuno, he's not got much experience in England. The foreign boys, you know, Nuno spirity thingy. You know, they want to, you know, get 3 points off me. They're going to have to try hard.
But he'll learn from that.
Yeah.
He'll learn from that. Fine this season.
Not much sunshine over here, is there, Noon? So there we go. That's my highlight. Or looking ahead to the weekend, which is something.
Highlight of the future. Highlight. Of the future.
That's what we're calling.
Can we rebrand it?
Yeah. Call it that from now on. I'm writing that down.
Highlights of the future. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Football's nearly happening. Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Bloody hell, Marcus Quickie.
It's on the running order, to be fair.
It's on the run. Yeah, well, I was finishing reading the bloody sheet.
Correspondence with Pete.
It's all right.
Break.
You'll have to do an annoying edit.
Pete, it's got 20 asterisks next to it.
No, it hasn't.
It has.
It's a fucking disgrace. Luke is.
Isn't it just? Isn't it just?
If you want to put half an hour after the show, I can take you through running order if you want. I don't mind.
I'm not leaving that in. I'm editing now, so Luke. You've referenced something that's not going to be in the show. So fuck you, Luke. Fuck you in the face. Marcus.
Now, when he's taken that thing out of his face, Luke, would you like to...
I don't
stop referencing things! Right. Sweeper.